This morning, if you have your Bible, Titus chapter 2. I want you to notice two words. They're used together in the scripture 16 times. And you'll notice that they have a certain purpose. Notice with me, if you would, verse 14, Titus chapter 2. You'll notice the order of things here. It's real important for us to learn this. Who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ. Here's the purpose for him dying for us. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. All of us have sinned, must be paid for. Jesus died to pay for our sin. Notice if you would. And he died for another reason. To purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now, peculiar is a word in English that would mean, sort of a little different, maybe kind of out of the ordinary. Well, it still means that in the Greek text, but it means treasured. It's a treasured people. And you'll notice he says, and this is what makes them treasured, zealous of good works. Now, I want you to notice this morning, whenever you hear the word good works, it's very prevalent in religion. Hey, you need to do good. You need to do this. You need to do that. But why? Well, notice if you would in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God. Now, Paul has written to Titus to go to the little island of Crete and help establish churches there. There are a lot of people that have been saved. They have trusted Christ as Savior, but they don't have someone to lead them. So I said, Titus, go and establish these churches and ordain pastors and teach them the things they need to know. Because, notice if you would, verse 16, many profess that they know God. Now, that's America. Many people profess that, oh, I'm a Christian. But notice what it says. But in works, they deny him. We talked this morning in Sunday school about seven things, we only got to three or four of them, that God, the Bible says, hates. They're abominable to him. They make him sick at his stomach. And one of them is lying. Now, in our society, lying is not a good thing, but it's not forbidden. It's not evil. People lie from time to time. Only when it's better to lie than to get the trouble for what telling the truth would be. Now, God says, but I hate that. Now, these people in Titus, where Titus is written to, the Cretans, they were known as a lazy people. They were known as not very good. And you'll notice he says in verse 16, but in works they deny him. So he says, look, their works tell the truth about their heart. They're willing to lie a little bit. How many of you have bought a house in the last 10 years? You've bought a house in the last 10 years. Would you raise your hand? Okay. When you bought the house, did you go to the closing attorney or the title company and you sat down and they said, do you want this house? Check the address. Okay, check the address. Is that the one you're buying? Yes, that is. And the bank wants you to sign this note, and you just sign right there at the bottom of the line, and we're good. You can go. Is that what y'all did? I know when Janet and I bought our house 3 months ago, I had writer's cramp from type. I finished all the signatures that I had to do. There was one family years ago that was going on vacation. They said, our house is coming up. And they said, would you please sign for us? We'll give you a power of attorney. Would you go sign for us? And I, not thinking, said, sure, I'll be glad to do that. So I designated a little while to go over there to the title company. I signed 156 times. You know why? People lie. They don't keep their word. And he said, if you lie, you're just like these people. It doesn't indicate that you're Christian. Now, I want you to look with me, if you would. I'm just going to give you three simple thoughts. Number one, good works cannot save you. Good works cannot save you. You can't get to heaven doing good works. Look at verse 5 of chapter 3 of Titus. Most of the thoughts are in Titus this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So you can't get to heaven by doing good works. As a matter of fact, if you think, well, if I do good, it will help. We've had people that have worked on this building that I said, hey, we're glad, we appreciate you working on the building. He says, well, I'm just hoping it helps me get into heaven a little bit better. Well, that's something that is common in people's minds. If I do good, there's a balance, and if my good outweighs the bad, I'll make it. How many have ever heard somebody talk about it like that? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Raise it up. Good. I want to see it all over the place. That's the norm. If I would go knock on a door, which I've done for 50 years almost, and say, look, I'd like to invite you to church, and they talk to me, well, I go to church, I'm a good person, I'm this and this and this. And if I were to ever say to them, in your mind, how would a person get to heaven? And they say, well, if you do good and you don't do bad, then I think you'll probably make it. Good works cannot save you. You'll notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Really, one of the clearest verses, Ephesians. It's just a little bit over, back toward the middle of your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to notice with me, if you would, good works cannot save you. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, nobody in this room will ever get to heaven because of one thing you did or I did. We just can't get there that way. Otherwise, there'd be no crosses in churches. Have you ever thought about that? If you could get to heaven by doing good and being good, and there's a lot of really good people in this church. I mean, I am so proud to be pastor of this church for the people that are here. For the most part, they're truthful. They try to do what's right. They want to have a good marriage. They want to have good children. They want to please the Lord. Hey, look, you're here. We've got a wonderful crowd this morning. You brought your Bible. You're trying to learn to be more about Christ. But I want you to understand something. No one ever gets to heaven because they're good. Because the cross and what Jesus did on it is what pays your debt of sin and mine. Don't let anybody in any church ever tell you different. That's the reason I want you to see Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I promise you, if Dave Pittman could get to heaven because he's been in the ministry for so many years and he's preaching for so many years, I'd get to heaven and I'd see Scott and I'd see Brandon. And I would say, hey, how'd you guys get to heaven? Well, we worked for Temple. Yeah, that got us in. That just put us over the top. Boy, I sure am glad, you know, I worked hard for those years. Me too. We'd be bragging to each other. I know those guys. We'd be bragging to each other. Now, they're good guys, but we like to take credit for things we have done. And so the Lord said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now, mercy is this. I go to the doctor and I say, Doc, I'm sick. And he says, okay, I can give you a shot or I can give you some pills. He can give me mercy by pills. How many of you like shots? I don't think so. Not many of you. Now, so He can give me mercy and give me a shot. That's grace. He doesn't have to. He could say, no, I'm not going to give you pills because I don't like you. I'm going to give you a shot, and I'm going to make it hurt. And wait a minute. You know, mercy is, I'm going to be better to you than you deserve. So he said, according to his mercy, he saved us. You realize that you're a sinner. I realize I'm a sinner. And I say, Lord, I can't get to heaven. Your word says I can't get to heaven by being good. Then how can I get there? Well, he says, look, I'll pay your debt of sin. And you just accept it. Look with me, if you would, in Titus. Notice with me, if you would, in Titus chapter 2:14, we just read it. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, that he might buy us back from the payment of our sin, which you would all have to die and go to hell. So the Lord loved you and says, I don't want you to go to hell. I'm going to send my son to pay your debt of sin. And that story is not clear enough in our churches. So people think I can be good and get to heaven, but you cannot. Notice, if you would, good works are for a different purpose. And they always come after you have received the good work of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Romans. I want you to see this. Romans, Acts, Romans, chapter 10. I want you to notice this verse. A lot of people struggle because they say, I know Jesus died for me, but how does it get applied to me? If you had a bank account with millions of dollars in it, it would be no good to you unless there was an avenue for you to spend it. Write a check. Well, there's the death of Jesus Christ is no good to anybody unless you can get it applied to your debt of sin. You'll notice in Romans chapter 10, notice what he says here. Look in verse number 10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's two parts that are part of salvation. It's that you throw away all your good deeds, and you say, Lord Jesus, I can't get to heaven by myself, and I believe you died for me. Let me ask this question. Do you really believe, everybody in this room, that Jesus died for you? For God so loved the world. Everybody in this room is a part of the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus died for everybody in this room. But everybody in this room is not going to heaven unless you have gotten Jesus Christ to apply his payment on the cross to your sin and redeemed you. How do you do that? Well, there's a lot of churches say, well, you got to give money, good work. Well, you got to get baptized. Well, that's a good work. Well, you got to partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, that's a good work. Well, you got to sing in church. I'd never make it to heaven if that were the case. The fear of singing a note at the right pitch in front of people, I can't even think of the words, let alone the notes. No, the second half of verse 10, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confessing what? That you're a sinner and you can't get to heaven without him, and you want him to forgive you of your sin. Now, the reason I believe Jesus made it so simple is because as we go on missions trips, I've seen thousands and thousands of people that could not go to church because there wasn't one, that could not give a dollar in the offering plate. The only thing they could do is, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I confess my sin. I'm sorry, we've wiped it away. I need you to save me. Confession is made unto salvation. That's the story of the gospel. Everybody in this room, if you've not got a time when you've trusted Christ as Savior, and then people say, well, I've done that many times. No. You only are born again according to Jesus Christ one time. It happens for everybody in this room at a point in time. It's punctillary. It is a point in time. Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. First time your birth. By the way, I thank you for everybody coming up to me and saying, happy birthday, Pastor. Today is my birthday. It is no one's business on what birthday it is. The good part about, you can choose as you get older to say, I no longer celebrate birthdays. Brother Don Milburn, where's Brother Don Milburn? He was right. Brother Don Milburn said he still celebrates his birthday. And Brother Don, which one are you on? Did you forget? You forget? I didn't understand. What'd you say? 87. Okay, I can't even count that high. Okay. Now his wife says, I don't celebrate him anymore. So which group are you in? You do not celebrate them. My last one that I'm going to celebrate was last year. Okay, just so you know that. I've stopped celebrating birthdays. But I had one. And it was April 7th, 1953. Just before the ark was built, I know. I had a birthday, a physical birthday. But then I had a spiritual birthday on June 18th, 56 years ago. The day that I got out on my knees to the Lord Jesus in a little room and said, Lord, it's me. I'm a church member, but I've never confessed my sin to you, past, present, and future. Think about this. How many of your sins had Jesus died for when he died for you? He died for all of them. You had not committed a one. He knew you would be born. He knew the sins you would commit, foreknowledge. And he said, I'm going to pay them all of my death on the cross. He could look at Abraham and Abraham the same way. Lord, I make this offering to you, and one of these days you're going to give the perfect offering. Would you forgive me of my sin? And Abraham would say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so now here and I, you and I, we must be born again. Simple as that. Good work cannot save you. But notice, I want you to know what good works can do. Look, if you would, down in Titus chapter 3. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. This is a faithful saying. This is a consistent saying. It'll always be true. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So Titus, tell the Cretans that they need to remember this. This is important. That they which have believed in God, you've put your faith and trust in Christ. You are on your way to heaven. You've been born again. That they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now, I want to give you two thoughts about it. Number one, why? The first one's mentioned right here. Notice what he says. These things are good and profitable unto men. So why does a father tell the truth? So his son sees it and he learns to tell the truth. Why does a father pay his bills? So that a son, our daughter, grows up to pay their bills. Because the example of good works is important. It is profitable. It makes people grow. It makes people worth more to the Lord. They're profitable because they saw somebody do good works. There are many of you in this room that you do good works for people from time to time. A family moves in. We had a family move in next door to us, and my wife baked cookies, and I took them cookies, almost all of them. I took them cookies, okay? And I said, look, we're just glad you're here. Wanted to just give you some cookies, and welcome to the neighborhood. And that's a good work. So someone has a surgery, and someone says, Pastor, I'd like to take them a meal so they don't have to prepare a meal when they get home. Okay, great. That's a good work. Somebody you see on the side of the road, and they have a flat, and you say, I'm going to stop and help them. That's a good work. It's profitable unto people, because if you're a Christian, that's what Christians are supposed to do. It's profitable. But many times we don't realize it, but does anybody know who the greatest example of good works? Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and I want you to notice verse 32. John chapter 10, and the reason I give you references for you to look up is so that you don't think I'm making things up. I want you to see that everything that I'm speaking about is from the Scriptures. It's the truth of God. It's bigger than Temple Baptist Church. Notice, if you would, John chapter 10 and verse number 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. So he said, look, I've done good works. I've showed you from my Father. Good works are for a purpose. They're an example, number one. And Jesus said, they're profitable unto men. They help people do what's right. They teach the way forward for people to do what is right in the future. Part of the reason our generation is going down, part of the reason you have to sign a document 150-something times that says, I promise I will pay my bills. I promise I will pay it on time. I promise. And you write and you write and you write and you write. It's because our society is no longer honest. I remember my grandfather. We had 100, he had 120 acres, and the bottom 40 was alfalfa. And he would call the neighbor and say, hey, next Monday, can you come over and help me bale my hay? And I'll pay you 20 cents a bale. He said, okay, come on over. I'll be over on Monday. And that's all they talk about. That's one time they talked about it a week or two ago. And so on that Monday morning, we'd get up and I'd say, Granddad, what are we going to do today? And he said, well, we're going to go bale hay. And Mr. Buchanan, he's going to come over and bale the hay for us. He's got a hay baler, and we're just going to pay him 20 cents a bale. And I said, okay. And so I watched as my grandfather go out there, and that guy bale all that hay, and he let me drive the tractor. I'd be 9, 10 years old, and they'd had a sled behind it, and they'd put all the bales on that, put a big metal rod in the ground, had a slit in it, and it would take 10 bales and put them off, and then we'd go back with the truck, load it up, and put it in the barn. And at the end of bale day, my grandfather would take out of his overalls a pencil, a pen. He'd pull it out. He'd say, how many bales did you get? And Mr. Buchanan said, I got 536 bales. And he said, okay. Oh, you're not going to count them? Your word's good enough. Write the check. End of it. There was no contract. Did you know that Temple Baptist Church at Drainville? We didn't write up contracts for that. We had a man in our church that had gotten saved, as honest as the day is long. He'd say, it's going to cost you $1.8 million to build that gym, remodel the auditorium. And he said, that's what it'll cost you. We signed one piece of paper, make sure we had the numbers right. It was the end of it. Not that way anymore. To build these buildings, I personally have talked with, and we've had to pay, 5 different attorneys. A land use attorney, a contract attorney, a construction attorney. I didn't know that many kind of attorneys around. And so why? It's because people are no longer honest. So when somebody comes along and says, we'll pay you, boy, it makes a difference. We are paying for the steel for that building ourselves, and we write checks out of our savings account. All this is paid for. We write checks out of the savings account, and the steel company doesn't know me or us from anybody. And so we owed a quarter of $1 million, $252,000 to be exact. And so I talked to the general contractor. He said, okay, you can pay them. I paid them $252,000. They got went down to the bank, got the check, went down to the post office, put it in overnight mail so that they would get it quickly. People like to have their money. And I got back to the church, and the contractor comes and says, don't pay that bill. I said, I've already put it in the mail. We'll put a stop payment on it. I found out we didn't get the contract signed. Nobody's fault. Nobody messed up. I said, we didn't get the contract signed. And he said, look, I'll call him. I said, you'll call him and tell him I'm going to put a stop payment on the check. Yes, I will. Okay. He called. He said, okay. So about 3 days later, I get a letter from an attorney. It is not right. You cannot stop payment on a check. You blah, 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 blah. And this attorney sent me a letter. I got on the phone. I called the people at the contractor, and I said, hey, did you call that guy and tell him that was going to be a stop payment on that check? And why? He said, yeah, I sent him an email. That's why I hate emails. He didn't get it. So he thinks that Temple Baptist Church does not pay their bills. So you know what I did? I said, well, that's his tough luck. No, I didn't. I got on the phone, and I called the president of that company, and I said, Mr. Will Moore, yes, sir, can I talk to you for a minute? This is Pastor Pippen from Temple Baptist Church, in silence on the phone. I said, I am so sorry that you got that check and no one told you it would stop payment. Would you forgive us? Well, yes, sir. I said, the money is in the bank, and we'll pay you as soon as you and the contractor get your contract signed out. Oh, is that all it was? That's all it was. So he got it all paid. I said, I tell you what I'll do. When you sign that contract, it's all set up, I'll get a check cut, and I'll personally go down and get it sent off the next day, and you'll have it. He said, okay. Now, everything's good. He doesn't have his money, but everything's good now, okay? But I told him we'd do a good work. I'd put it in the overnight mail so he would get it. He said, okay, that's great. So UPS, I went down and paid $35 for it to go overnight. How many of you know what that means? That means the next morning, it's there. Isn't that what it means to y'all? And so the next morning, I get a call from that Will Moore, and he said, Pastor Pittman, the check's not here. I said, I am sorry, but I called your secretary yesterday and left on the voicemail the tracking number. Oh, I am so sorry. I didn't check with my secretary. But I want to tell you thank you. So about 2 hours later, the secretary calls me and says, I got your check. He went too soon to the post office, and he beat the mailman. I said, how did he beat the mailman? The mailman is supposed to deliver it the night before. So I got thrown on the bus twice, once by UPS and once by our people over here. And I'm apologizing for all kinds of things. You know, sometimes to do good is hard. To do good works is difficult. Sometimes you have to forgive someone that maybe doesn't ask you to forgive them. Maybe sometimes you have to forgive someone that doesn't deserve it. But good works cause people to see, as a Christian, that you're different. If you have your Bible, turn back over to Titus chapter 2. I want you to see verse 14. Notice what he says. Who gave himself for us, this is Titus 2:14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a kind of people that's different from the world, that's different from society. Now take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. You'll see exactly the same thing, and you'll see why we do what is right. A good work. Number one, it's profitable unto men. But notice, if you would, in verse number 9. Notice 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Here it is, a peculiar people. You know what that means? You're mine. You're my special treasure. Are you the special treasure of the Lord? You can't get it by works, but you can become a special treasure of the Lord by doing good works, because you've been born into God's family and you're trying to please Him. Now look down, if you would, at verse number 9, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now look at verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, there's where good works come in. We're supposed to be honest among everybody that's not saved, Gentiles. Now, Gentiles and Jews, that's the designations, but in Scripture, many times Gentiles represent the unsaved. And so he's saying, look, when you're among the unsaved, notice, having your conversation honest among the unsaved, that whereas they speak evil against, they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When Jesus comes back, they can look and say, you're worthy. I saw Christians live for you. So you can't get saved by good works, but you can help others get saved by good works, by your example, by your testimony. And you can please heaven by your good works. Do you realize everybody in this room is one of these days going to stand before God? Everyone in this room, every man over here, every woman over here, everybody from the back to the front, every one of us is going to personally stand before God. Either at the judgment seat of Christ, where you'll be rewarded for your good works, or the great white throne judgment, where your bad works will be proven that you're a sinner and you can't go to heaven. The choice is ours. The greatest thing about being a Christian is that you get a chance to please the Lord, and in pleasing Him, He's just good to you. He loves you. And you're never alone. And He helps you do what's right. I want to do right in the worst way, but sometimes it's a struggle. And the Lord encourages my heart and helps me to do the right thing. Mr. Wilmore, I'm sorry you didn't get your check. Will you forgive me? When it wasn't me, but it was my check. Because I want him to have a good opinion of Jesus Christ and what he did for me to glorify God. I want him to realize I want to deal with Christians because they pay on time, because they're honest, because they're good people. And so he says you can have good works that help other people say, I want to have what he's got. I've seen that happen. I've seen someone get saved in our church and other people come along and say, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to have what he has. I remember in Uganda one time there was a man that kind of wavered, and he had gotten saved, and his family watched him. And as he changed, one day the family came, mom, two boys, came down in front and said, we want to be saved. Why? Because we saw the change in him. We saw his good works. Good works help other people get to heaven. And good works glorify God. Last verse. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I do want you to see that good works will be rewarded. And I want you to notice it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look with you, would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13. Every man's what? Work shall be made manifest. Every man's work is going to be known one of these days. Why? You're going to stand before God. You're either on your way to heaven and you've got rewards coming, or you're not going to heaven and you're going to have to pay for your own sin because you didn't confess your sin and receive Jesus' payment. Haven't been redeemed. So notice what he said. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be declared. And he gives it, he said that it's one of two types. It's either bad works or good works. Now, these are saved people. Look down in verse number 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So this is about Christians. And he said, your work's going to be made manifest. Now look back up at verse 13. For the day shall declare. What day? The day of judgment of Jesus Christ for Christians. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Whether it is. Now notice he gives a sort. He gives a type in verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, it's a good work. Notice what it says. He shall receive a reward. So there's good things. Everybody in this room, have you received Christ as Savior? Have you taken your good works and kind of thrown them away and said, Lord, I'll just trust your work on the cross to save my soul. Would you forgive me? You've confessed your sin. If you haven't done that, you can't go to heaven. Good works cannot save you. But good works can save others. And there are people that are watching you live. Everybody in this room, your children, your grandchildren. One of the reasons I want to do what's right is because I've got grandchildren. And I want them to do what right with all of my heart. So I don't ever want them to say, Granddad doesn't pay his bills. Papa doesn't pay his bills. Because I saw my granddad pay his bills. And so that's a Pittman legacy. Pay your bills. I want it to be a Pittman legacy that you do what's right, no matter what anybody else does, because you're trying to please the Lord. That's what I want for everybody in this room. It is a wonderful life because you're living for tomorrow. You're living for the future, and the Lord brings the future to you. He blesses you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I mean, the Lord just heaps blessings upon people that do what's right because he loves you. He's the best father the world has ever seen, and he loves to be good to his children. Everybody in this room's got a limit of what you can do for your children. He does not. So he can outgive anybody in this room. And he does if we do good works. Tonight, today, I've seen a lot of Christians that did good works. And boy, was it a blessing to people around. It was an encouragement to our church. It's an encouragement to others. And I've seen people that did what was right because they love the Lord. I've seen young people do that. And boy, the blessing in their life is just amazing because the Lord rewards good works. But, you know, I have seen people that they became a Christian and they didn't always do the right thing. They sort of wanted one foot in the world and one foot with Christ. So you never knew what they were going to do. Were they going to tell the truth? Were they going to pay their bills? Were they not? We've had them here in this church. And today, I want you to understand this. The Lord says, I'm looking for a peculiar people. Mine. Somebody I can say, boy, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Rick Clark. I am so proud of you. You're a good husband. You pay your bills. You love the Lord. You're faithful. I want to tell you something. I'm proud of you. And I got things laid up in heaven for you. You're a lady here today. I'm proud of you. You've taken care of your children and your husband. You've worked hard. You've done a good job. And I'm proud of you. You didn't complain and gripe about you've just filled with good works. Today, everybody in this room, you have to choose. Am I going to heaven? Have I told the Lord I'm sorry for my sin? I want you to forgive me and take me to heaven. Have you been born again? Number two, have you chosen good works so that other people see you and say, I want his God. And number three, are you trying to please the Lord with your good works? Lord, is this the way I'm supposed to do it? Lord, is this the way I'm supposed to talk to my neighbor? Is this the way I'm supposed to talk to the people at work? Lord, I want to please you. You know, my father was a plumber. He owned several companies. He would start a company and sell it. And I never heard my father curse one time. So guess what? I never cursed. I never saw my father smoke or take dope. So guess what? I never smoked or took dope. I didn't see my dad yell at people, lose his temper. Never. So I try, Lord, I don't want to lose my temper. I don't want to yell at people. The example made a difference in my life. Now, I did see things that I didn't want, and I've worked to change those because my example is not my father or my grandfather. My example is the Lord. But everybody in this room, you're an example of what your Father in heaven is supposed to be like. We're in His image. Today, are you doing what's right? Do you have good works for the Lord's sake? He loves you. He wants to be good to you. Will you let Him? Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymns. Good works, what are they for? They don't save you. They can save others, and they can certainly please heaven. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Brandon to lead us in a verse of invitation hymn. And I'll give you an opportunity to make a decision this morning. You don't have to, but it's between you and the Lord. But maybe you make a decision. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better employee at work. I just want to be better, period. Lord, would you help me? I want to do good so that other people can see what you've done in my life. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll stand to our feet. Maybe you need to come forward and trust Christ as Savior. Let me help you with that. You say, Pastor, I've never really taken the time to trust Christ as my Savior. I want to help you with that this morning. Get it settled. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Let me help you with that. We can help take care of that. Then maybe you're here and you've been saved and baptized and the Lord's moved you to be a part of our church. I encourage you, come forward. We'll help you with it. And if you can't come forward, you let me know. We'll talk to you about it. I'll announce it anyway. You can remain in your seat if necessary. I just want you to do what the Lord wants you to do. This morning, leave with peace in your heart that you've obeyed the Lord. Lord Jesus, would you speak to the hearts of everyone in this room this morning? Lord, help them to do your will. If they need to come to this altar and talk to you and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't had many good works recently, but I'm going to change that. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never received Christ. I encourage you to come and throw all your good works away and rely upon Jesus. He'll save you. Lord, speak to hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.